following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Lachey, and you are listening to Beyond the Obstacle, a podcast where we discuss what it takes to become an elite athlete. Welcome to episode 6 of Beyond the Obstacle. This week we have another special guest. This is a really good friend of mine, training partner, American Ninja Warrior Season 16 competitor, four-time American Ninja Warrior tester, and she's pretty humble, so she won't say this herself, but definitely one of the top female competitors right now in the sport of ninja. This is Zoe Tizan. Zoe, why don't you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about how you got into the sport of ninja?
All right. Well, thank you for that intro. My name is Zoe. I got into the sport because I walked into the gym, I got addicted immediately, and never left. And now it's full-blown a huge piece of my identity.
I love that. That's like almost the exact same experience I've had, which is amazing because both of us now just love the sport and it's such big parts of our lives. Another thing that's pretty significant about you as an athlete that is one of the things that I am interested to hear more about on today's episode is the fact that you are studying to become a chiropractor. So why don't you tell me how you got into that and how that associates with your athletic journey?
That's so funny. So I would say that as a student budding to be a chiropractor is the other part of my identity. And so I got introduced to chiropractics through ninja because during one of the competitions that I did early days, I injured myself and I thought that pain was going to last forever. And then I got introduced to a chiropractor who changed my world and kind of put me back together in a better function than I was before I had even seen him. And I didn't even know I was living with pain. That was my experience that brought me there. And it was a ninja comp.
That's sick. I actually did not realize that ninja is what got you into becoming a chiropractor, which is obviously such a big part of your identity now. So let's get into the main section of today's episode, which is diving into the main question for my podcast, which is how do you become an elite athlete? So before I get into any more specifics, I want to just hear your answer to the question. You can take this in any direction you want. How does someone become an elite athlete?
Ooh, I love this question. Okay, so, and actually it is hard for me sometimes to accept the fact that I feel like that I am considered an elite athlete. I feel like I have so far to go and it's always just baby steps to the top, but because I am considered an elite athlete, I would say that there's three legs to stand on in life. And it's about learning how to balance the three. And I would say that the closer to balance you are, the more evenly distributed you are to put that energy towards being an elite. And those three legs are your mind, your spirit, and your physicality. And all three of them work completely different parts of what makes someone human. And then when you put them together, it's magic. And then anybody can put that magic towards anything. And I just decided to put that magic towards ninja and chiropractics. But both of them are an art. And then learning how to perfect your art is what would make you an elite.
Okay, so with the three legs that you're talking about, which one have you found the most struggle in getting to the point that you want it to be at?
Well, I'll say I have a long way to go with all three. And that's my favorite part about living is just there's never an absolute. And so there's just always something to work on and always something, a goal to reach. But personally, I would say my mental game is inconsistent, and so that's what I'm working on like the most, to make sure that I've got this more of a consistency with that so that I can get my head in the game or just be able to regulate my mind. It's just so easy to spiral anywhere in any direction, but when it comes to competing or when it comes to training, even the mind can really get in the way, Or it could be the powerhouse tool that just brings you to a whole another level. So that tends to be my regular weakness.
Yeah, for sure. The mental side is so difficult. And we're actually at a competition right now. We're in Minnesota for a Ninja Sport Championship qualifier, in which I did pretty bad at, and Zoe did a lot better than I did. And one of the big reasons for that was the mental game. So you've definitely been improving a lot at the mental side of competing. And in terms of training, I've definitely seen quite the improvement at that too. What are some things that have really made the difference lately? Because specifically the mental side, I've seen a lot of growth from you lately.
I like that question a lot, because I think that this will look different on everybody, but I'll say for me, it's about how you talk to yourself, and that also translates in the way that you talk to others, right? And so I've decided to just be my number one fan and talk to myself in the words that I know I need to hear, not just sit there and wait for someone to say what I know that I need to hear when I know I can't just wait for someone to read my mind and just do that. Whereas it's in my mind, I gotta just lock in one-on-one, 1v1 with the mirror, and just kind of say the things that I need to say to know that, or just to bring out the elite in me.
Yeah. Would you say that's kind of like being your own coach almost?
Yeah. Your number one fan, your coach, your mentor, everything. It's all connected. It's all one. So absolutely.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And I think that that's something that I can definitely work on too, in the fact that I coach a lot of people myself, kids and adults. And oftentimes I realize that I'm not like following my own advice. And so I guess taking a step back and kind of thinking about like, what would I tell myself right now? Like if I was coaching me, but like in the third person, and then just following what that advice would be, is a good path to go on. Would you say that that's kind of a good interpretation of what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just definitely something I know I've always needed and I'm benefiting from with just a small change like that.
So with the question, how do you become an elite athlete? Let's take this in a little bit more of a specific direction. With you as a chiropractor and somebody who is pretty knowledgeable of a lot of different recovery methods, what do you think it takes to become an elite athlete in terms of recovery and in terms of things that are necessary for anybody who's trying to take that next step?
I absolutely love this question, because as I've been training more and competing more, and just in the presence of a lot of really high achieving athletes, I go around and I ask what kind of treatment people are taking, just to know and gauge just what has been effectively working for others. And I'm realizing, unfortunately, most people don't seek treatment until pain is involved. And to me, that is too late. The normal amount of pain to feel is zero. And I think, especially as athletes, we forget that. And that we operate at a solid 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10 pain, and just push through, which in some ways that's really good, because you know soreness is a different type of pain, but when it comes to the impact, especially with this sport, this is a high impact sport, and calisthenic type training is excellent for muscle building and to retain the strength that you build. Is it sticks around a lot longer than weight training or other types of training, but using your own body weight to strengthen yourself is research just shows how effective for your health that is. But people, especially to our level or just training in general, we need to be loving our body as much as we put it through the amount of trauma that we put it through when we're training and when we're competing. This is trauma. And so that's one thing that I'm actually really looking into. And one of the fields that I hope to get into is prolonging the lifespan of an athlete, because I'm 30. And so I know that I'm one of the oldest competitors in NSC especially. And that's significant, because I know that the way that it's talked about is that, you know, these preteens and teens, they're amazing, but also after a certain point, the self-talk that I hear them giving themselves, which is, this is your chance now, because once you're a certain age, you can't do X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3 anymore, which in a lot of ways that's true, but it's based off of the way that you take care of yourself, right? And so, and the amazing thing is that there's a whole generation that, their bones are forming around this, this sport, and which is amazing. And I think that we haven't seen yet the type of athlete that can come out of this. But as much as we train, we need to balance that very equally with healing, because healing and trauma, they go synonymous. And so I would say tissue work, water, all the basic things, like making sure, I just know so many athletes who are like, oh, energy drinks, electrolytes, all this other stuff, but like, we're missing the basics too. So the basics are sleep well, eat well, and rest also within that, which is all three things that I know I'm guilty of not doing as, you know, balanced as it's necessary. But all that to say, getting body work, like tissue work, making sure we're hydrated, whether that means like IV drip, which is excessive, but a really amazing thing to do too, or putting an alarm on your phone to drink more water, just things like that. And just making sure that, you know, we are eating not always cooked food. Raw food is so necessary for you too. Like the food that the earth provides for you just as is, we need to also be eating. And so, and I know winter is coming and that's just not ideal, but eating well, sleeping well, staying hydrated.
I really like the hydration one, because that's something that we haven't talked about that much. And I think I drink a lot of water, but it's not something that I really think about that much. So I think that that's a good one, because drinking water kind of just functions to everything that has to do with your health, right? And with what you're saying about these younger athletes growing up, and they're going to need more intentional care for their bodies, and you're talking about being more preemptive and dealing, like finding solutions to the injuries before they happen, what are some, let's say from the perspective of a younger athlete growing up that maybe doesn't have the resources available to get any like complex treatments, what are some like simple treatments that you would recommend for younger athletes growing up that they might not think of that aren't as obvious?
Obviously, I'm biased to chiropractics, but I said, you know, these kids are, their bones are forming around this sport. And the significance of that is the body is getting used to this type of impact. Our upper body is getting pulled apart in some ways. And the injuries that have come out of here are scary sometimes. And not to scare anybody away from joining the sport, because it's probably the best sport in the world, not to be biased. But chiropractics is really necessary. And I know that I hope there are people out there that make it accessible to the public instead of this exclusive club to people with money. But and that is what I hope to do as well, just to make sure that I have accessibility and availability for preventative care, especially. But to answer your question outside of my bias, man, I love this question, because there are so many. And the first two that are coming to my mind is a solid cool down. I notice a solid warm up, a solid cool down, and a regular stretching session. And as silly as that is, the warm up is just insanely important. Like, our body is not ready to just show up at the gym and rip a 10-foot lachet. And I know, actually, I've seen kids do that, and their bodies are just so ready to just regenerate, and that goes away the older they get. And so getting in the habit of having just a regular warm up, and then the stretch, oh my goodness, our joints, there's so many things that just get stuck in our joints, and there's all these veins and vessels and nervous system supplies that, and they're just systems that flow in and out of our joints. So we got to make sure that all these hoses aren't stuck under a tire between our joints, basically. And so, and we just have to make sure that we're gapping our joints to make sure that the rest of our body gets the amount of nutrients that we need. But stretching does that too. And so in a simple way, get a good solid stretch system going. And then the cool down, I think that this is the most overlooked part of our sport too, the cool down. It can be as simple as like 70% effort or less with just cardio, and 10 minutes, it will change the game. And I hope that doesn't sound like too much, but I know that some of these people, and myself included, can spend 2-3 hours in the gym and still don't make 10 minutes for a cool down. I'm saying this to you. I'm saying this to me because I know we're both guilty of this too, but it's a injury game changer.
Yeah, definitely we should try to figure out a cool down routine, because I know for me, I have a pretty good set warm up routine and a stretching routine that I want to expand, but I do have a routine. But yeah, cool down, definitely we should take more seriously. We're getting close to the end of our time today. Usually this is the section where I do a Q&A. I'm going to just do one question because this is like my favorite question to ask people. What is some advice that you would give to yourself when you first started Ninja? If you could talk to yourself like in the first month or two that you did Ninja, what would you tell yourself?
If I could go back in time and tell myself anything in the early days, I would try really hard to implement that positive self-talk early, because I was pretty easily discouraged by my age and my lack of experience, to where my self-talk was definitely would never have brought me to the level that I'm at now. And so in some ways, if I had that talk, if I had that positivity of my own coaching and my own like hype man, early, no one ever knows what ifs, but I just wish that I did that ASAP, because it's my identity now and I never thought it would be in the beginning. And it's a cool transition.
Yeah, I love that. And it sounds kind of corny, but the whole having people around you that are better than you to look up to thing, I think is so powerful. For me, that was one of the most powerful tools, is seeing people around me that be like, I want to be like that, and having that motivation to try to like get to the point that you want to be. If you cannot be threatened by people around you that you look up to, and instead be inspired by them, even though you've probably heard that a million times, that's so much more powerful than you could possibly imagine. All right, we're going to wrap up today's episode. Zoe, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, make sure that you all check out the Ninja Sport Championship. She's going to be competing a lot this season, and she is making a crazy breakout right now. It's pretty awesome to see. So make sure that you check her out. And yeah, do you want to shout out your social media?
Yes. Well, thanks for having me on here. If you guys want to find me, my Instagram is Zo Ninja Zo. That's Zo Ninja Zo. Zo Ninja Zo.
All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed, and I will see you guys next week for another interview.